The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Good to have you here. 866-660-5759. Busy, busy morning. Morning after the Democrat debate, but not a lot of news made, not a lot of minds changed. Continuing reaction to the Tatiana Jefferson shooting, and we've got more folks who, you know, we're going to call us about that, some of that this hour. But much of this hour will be given over to understanding what happened yesterday. And that means understanding what happened on that fateful day this past summer when Michael Quinn Sullivan of Empower Texans went in for a meeting with House Speaker Dennis Bonin and rolled tape on it. With the tape had not been released until yesterday, but a lot of people knew what was on the tape by virtue of testimony. Every Republican who went in and heard it, every journalist who went in and heard it said, wow, Bonin looks bad here. Sounds like a total quid pro quo. He's offering Michael Quinn Sullivan House floor credentials for Empower Texans, which he had wanted for a long time. And in return for that, what he wanted to do is see if Michael would get off his back a little bit and maybe help primary some people. Oh, my gosh. It just looked like a political favor from the hotbed of political favors. So yesterday, the tape comes out from Governor Abbott to Lieutenant Governor Patrick, James Dickey, chairman of the Republican Party of Texas. None of them chose to listen to the tape, and they said, hey, release the tape, release the tape. So yesterday, Michael did. And today, Michael is here. Michael Quinn Sullivan joins us. Welcome, sir. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
So did yesterday wind up being the kind of day you thought it would? Were the reactions roughly what you foresaw?
Well, I should preface by saying none of this is what I foresaw.
Fair point.
Not how I intended to spend my summer or my fall. Yes, I think a lot of the reactions were expected. I feel like that from the beginning, my team and I were insistent that we are going to not color beyond the lines. In regarding the meeting, in regard to what was said, with the hope that this mess could be cleaned up rather than made worse. Speaker Bonin and his team chose to just kind of keep making the mess worse and worse. I'm disappointed that that the folks who were the loudest in shrill demands that the audio be released not said anything. I feel like that, a lot of, particularly on the Republican side, a lot of our folks run as, moral leaders, and yet, they're all being suspiciously silent, which is troubling.
Well, I guess we're talking about Governor Abbott and particularly Lieutenant Governor Patrick. Is it because you feel that they feel a need to circle the wagons around Bonin so that every conservative, every Republican can just love this past legislative session, which was soundly unsatisfying to many conservatives?
Yeah, I'm not sure why there is the tendency among politicians to circle wagons around each other, except it's the, whatever else people may want to say about Donald Trump, the man is a genius when it comes to branding. I think that's kind of generally accepted, a generally accepted fact. And the idea of the swamp in politics, there's something about swamp creatures that tend to circle around even the good guys like Abbott and Patrick. They're just that kind of built-in cultural sense that politicians protect politicians. And that does a grave disservice, I think, to all of us generally, even guys particularly like the lieutenant governor, who are, as a, you know, I know you have said repeatedly, he is really one of the really good guys, but yet even, you know, all of us are captive to the cultures we in, the cultures that we're in. And I think it does not serve us well when we see the political class protect itself at the expense of, you know, the priorities of the grassroots.
Well, there were a number of Republicans, office holders, who went in and heard the tape and came out and spoke truth about it, said that Bonin looks like a snake and your story is exactly as you've told it. So what was different about them?
That's a great question. Why did some choose not? I mean, I guess that's, you know, start getting into matters of theology at that point, I suspect. But the what has been interesting with the response yesterday was from a good growing number of members of the Texas House who are starting to, you know, ask, you know, does Bond, in the words of John Smithy, I think the third longest serving member of the Republican caucus in the Texas House, Smithy said that Bonin has forfeited his right to serve as Speaker based on the hypocrisy, based on the tone and other things that the Speaker used in the meeting. So I think the next couple of days, as more and more of these cats listen to the recording, I think you're going to start having them speaking out, and particularly when they are hearing from their constituents, because ultimately, it's, you know, Mark, you and I are the problem when it comes to the culture and politics. We are the problem when we are not talking to our politicians, we're not talking to our public servants. And the ultimate responsibility in our republic rests with us as citizens, and we have to take ownership of that and make sure we are speaking clearly and directly to our elected officials, even if we don't like them, even if they're a different party from us. We need to be in constant communication with our servants.
Michael Gwynn Sullivan is here from Empower Texans. It was his tape of a conversation with Dennis Bonin that's now sending shockwaves all over. The actual date of the conversation was when in the summer? It was June 12th. And in the months, and then you began to talk about what happened there, and people said, hey, if you made tape, let's hear it. Select people did hear it. A lot of people, as we just discussed, called on you to release it, and you had an interesting quote. You said, listen, I didn't do this for the entertainment of the public. I did this to protect myself. So you did release it yesterday. What changed?
Well, a couple of things changed. You know, part of my coming to grips with, you know, and a lot of these folks saying, I refuse to listen to it privately. I'll only listen to it after the public's listened to it. You know, that's kind of the tone a number of folks took. Grappling with that, trying to understand, okay, so what do I do next? I decided that the only time that would make sense to release the audio was when someone could do something about it. This week, the Republican caucus of the Texas House has their annual retreat in Austin, and made the decision, well, that's a good time. You know, that's when they will be together, mm-hmm. when they take action as a caucus, when they vote on their rules and do all sorts of other things. Release it then so they can do something about it. You know, quite frankly, I would have left to my druthers probably, if I released anything, just released the particular snippets dealing with the quid pro quo and the hypocrisy relating targeting members and other things. But clearly the lieutenant governor, the governor, the party chairman and others, they wanted the full audio with all the salaciousness and the locker room talk and everything yeah. else in there. And that's, you know, that's fine. That's okay. That's now out there. But hopefully the Republican caucus will be able to take action.
So let's drill down on what really is in there. It's been talked about, and now we've heard it. The quid pro quo was you guys had sought floor credentials so that the Empower Texans people could be on the floor covering the legislature, and he had said no, and he said, listen, you want those credentials? I'll get them for you. I'll let you have them in return for, now let's make a list. First, it was these supposedly 10 Republicans whom he would supposedly partner with you to primary. Why?
Well, yet again, I think the specifics of the how were things that were, I guess he was going to be hoping we would work out later. I'm not entirely clear on that. But, first and foremost, actually, was not the 10. It was the withhold spending against him and against Dustin Burroughs, the then Republican caucus chair. Second, he wanted my guys to hold back their criticism, the rhetoric about the session. And then he said, here are the, here are 10 people to go after. Here are the people. Bonin said, I shouldn't tell you who to pop, but he, Dustin Burroughs, has a list of people you can pop, people who will, if we get rid of them, he said at one point, I could, kick his backside if the 2021 session wasn't better. He was making a very clear distinction about going after incumbents, something he specifically said he would specifically punish other members for. He was saying in back rooms he would do. The Republican caucus chairman pushed through a rule saying the Republican caucus would punish Republicans who went against each other, but yet here he is giving me a list of people to go after. The hypocrisy is pretty rank, and for participating in this hypocrisy, my team would allegedly receive the media credentials that were that are still the subject of an active federal lawsuit.
So it's funny, you think of media credentials going to people who work for radio stations, TV stations, newspapers. You guys, let's help you give us a 101 on what Empower Texans is. Somebody referred to you guys as lobbyists, and you said, no. Then what, in fact, is Empower Texans?
No, we are first and foremost a citizen, citizen-driven media group. We seek to talk about and to journal in the same way a talk radio show host does, chronicle and journal the events of the day, often with a bias, no different than the Texas Observer, no different than Quorum Report, no different than any number of entities that have passes. We operate a full-fledged news site, TexasScorecard.com. Which has a sports section, which covers mainly state and local news, but with a little bit of federal news tossed in there as well. We Empower Texans is an overarching corporate structure, but then we have various brands and products that we offer, probably no different than, except in scale, from a Procter & Gamble or a GE or any other other organization.
And in this day and age where so many people are blogging and journalism is no longer practiced just by those with degrees who work in buildings that contain, printing presses or broadcast towers, there are lots of people involved in disseminating information. It certainly seems like you guys would be part of that community. So in our last two or three minutes, Michael Quinn Sullivan with us from Empower Texans. What do you want here? There are a lot of people who are calling for Bonin to step down, suggesting that his speakership needs to be over. What are your conclusions?
What I hope this leads to, and this probably sounds like a line out of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington or something highly naive, but what I hope that this does at a bare minimum is inspires a conversation among the people who are in charge, which is the citizens of Texas, that we have a conversation about our expectations for our elected officials. Are we okay with the back-scratching, sewer, swamp-like culture of Austin, where cronyism rules the day and hypocrisy is considered the coin of the realm? Or do we want something higher? Do we want something better? And are we as citizens willing to hold our elected officials account for whether or not they are improving the system or living in the Austin swamp? That's up to us as citizens. The spill out from that, I hope that the Republican caucus maybe has a discussion around the idea of their expectations for honor and integrity, things that I guess have become the punchline of jokes at cocktail parties, but really should mean something first and foremost. Without honor, without integrity from our public servants, I'm not sure any of us can truly expect the kind of policy results that we want, almost irregardless of ideology. I would prefer an honest elected official to someone who gives lip service to our ideas, but then stabs us in the back.
Those are lofty and valuable goals. Can those things happen with Bonin as speaker in January 2021?
As a Christian, I'm a firm believer that all of us, as we draw breath, have the opportunity for redemption. All of us should be constantly seeking to see ourselves, see improvement and within ourselves. And I hope that that Speaker Bonin, even at this point, can change course. That he can that he can aspire to something more and higher as the Speaker of the Texas House. Absent that, I think that if the members of the House are the only ones who get to decide who the speaker is, you and I don't get to decide
that.
They're going to have to make that judgment call about where Dennis Bonin's heart is, and more importantly, perhaps, where his heart is as it relates to using the office to serve the citizens or to serve himself.
Michael Quinn Sullivan on Twitter is MQ Sullivan, and EmpowerTexans.com can get you to the Texas Scorecard, the Fiscal Responsibility Index, everything in the world that Michael has created and has stewardship over. A pleasure, man. Thank you. Let's talk again and soon, and maybe about other more sundry stuff. And I always appreciate it. And thanks for being on the program.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate your time, sir.
Michael Quinn Sullivan. Okay, up next, how about somebody who's reporting about this entire thing? Michael, of course, is at the center of this. Our buddy Scott Braddock at Quorum Report has been writing and tweeting about this for a long time. We'll ring him up next. 825, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. All right, in an 8 o'clock hour devoted to helping you understand the full breadth of this entire June 12th taped conversation between Michael Quinn Sullivan and Speaker Dennis Bonin. Interesting at the end, because there have been some legislators who have said Bonin's got to go, not just as Speaker, that he flat out ought to resign. Michael Quinn Sullivan did neither of those things, leaning heavily on the concept of redemption and knowing that the Speaker vote is 15 months away because our legislature meets only every other year. He said, look, anything's possible, but he wants Republicans in the entire state to focus on higher ethical bar and focus on draining the swamp and getting rid of this snake-like behavior. So that's Michael Quinn Sullivan himself at the center of the story. Our buddy Scott Braddock at Quorum Report has been covering this, as he covers everything in Texas, ever since it began, and we're going to talk to him next. 8:31, I'm Mark Davis, 660 AM The Answer, and we got Gordon Griffin in the newsroom. It is 8:38. There were a couple of things I wanted to do on the day after the release of the Michael Quinn Sullivan Dennis Bonin tape. One of them was talk to Michael Quinn Sullivan. Check. And the other box that I wanted to check is let's go to my buddy Scott Braddock at the Quorum Report, who covers statewide politics every day. And boy, has he been on top of this story ever since it dawned this past summer, which seems like a lot longer ago. He figures actually in this story when it gets to the whole media credentials kerfuffle. But so having talked to Michael, let's now talk about Michael. And let's talk about Dennis Bonin and talk about where this all goes from here. Scott Braddock at the Quorum Report. Welcome back, sir. How you doing?
Doing well, Mark. How are you?
I am fine. So let me ask you the broadest possible question.
Yes, sir.
The tapes get released yesterday. Mm-hmm. With seeing that day coming, what did you expect versus what happened? Was there anything yesterday that was a surprise?
There were a few things in the tape that I wrote down as I was listening that didn't necessarily surprise me, because I think, as you have reported, as we've talked about here on the show, so much of this was leaked beforehand, and so many people have heard it, you know, privately in the attorney's office of Michael Quinn Sullivan, and all of them basically came out, you know, with pretty much the same outline of the story. Of course, when it's an hour-long recording, as you know, different things hit people's ears differently, and certain things stand out to certain people. But there was nothing that really surprised me. Some of the things that I wrote down, one, they met more than once. Apparently they had a breakfast meeting, so it would be interesting to know what they all talked about at that meeting. Two, and by the way, we can talk about this in a minute if you like, the Texas Democratic Party still suing Empower Texans for more info, maybe any other recordings that there may exist of the speaker. That's why it's maybe important to bring up that other meeting. But some of the other things in there, I mean, you have an official government action that was offered, actually two of them. One was stripping my media credential, and the other giving media credentials to Empower Texans. Also, a hunting lodge promised to Michael Quinn Sullivan if he'd like to use it, which is just sort of interesting. Then, during the course of this conversation, they talk about money. And Mark, they talk about money a lot. In fact, to underscore this point, Bonin, at the very end of the recording, at the part where he's about to leave the room, and by the way, Bonin maybe sort of tips his hat about criminal intent by saying maybe I shouldn't be in the room when this part happens, when, quote, the list, and he used the term list, which, by the way, he had said over and over again, there was no list provided. His first statement to the media was there was no list provided to Mr. Sullivan, and that they had no agreement. He'll show you the list. That's what he actually says on the recording. Said he shouldn't be in the room. And when you listen to all this, it was pointed out in court yesterday by the judge hearing the case between the Democrats and Empower Texans. A lot of times when there's a quid pro quo, it doesn't go down like somebody says, if you do this, I'll do that. But Dennis Bonin, as he's getting ready to leave the room, says, I just want to make sure you understand, the money is the issue. Yeah. The money is the issue. And he said, and it's all about him personally, specifically. He says, as long as you're not spending money against me in my primary, then we're just fine. And then goes on to talk, plot against other Republicans and, the rest of that. So it's really a situation of duplicity that puts this speaker in so much trouble. Mark, there's a difference between saying things that you might not say in public just because they're not kind or that, they're insulting to certain people. That's not to excuse that. There's a difference between that and going out in public and saying one thing and saying something completely different, the opposite, in private. That is where he gets in trouble. That's what makes him a liar, a bald-faced liar, and that's strong language for me, but it's absolutely true. If you go back and you listen to that recording, there are things that he said in that office with Michael Quinn Sullivan that are the opposite of what he was telling House members to do. And as a friend of mine joked, in fairness to the speaker, he did say there would be consequences for going against other members of the House, which he did.
And everybody should understand the backdrop of all of this. Establishment Republicans love to talk a good game about conservatism. The Michael Quinn Sullivan Empower Texans model is take no prisoners, muscular, unapologetic conservatism. They are famous for blistering Republicans who are conservative enough, for most Austin cocktail parties, but not conservative enough for the grassroots. And that makes Michael Quinn Sullivan hated among a lot of establishment Republicans.
I think this is a case of a broken clock being right at least twice a day. You and I differ a little bit on the question of Empower Texans, and we don't have to debate that right now. But I would say these are guys who consistently accused Joe Strauss of some form of corruption, the former speaker, but they never found that. They didn't like what he had to say. They didn't like his policies. But I had very conservative members of the legislature over the last 24 hours say to me privately that they never had an instance where Joe Strauss was just outright lying to them, misrepresenting what he was trying to do. You always knew where Strauss and his leadership team stood, and if you had to fight them, you had to fight them, and that, and they accept that for what it is. But in the legislative process, you have to know who the honest brokers are. You have to have somebody say to you, I'm against you on that, and here are the reasons. And then you can battle it out in the arena of ideas, which the Texas Capitol is. But that was not going on with Bonin. He was saying to members of the House, don't campaign against any other incumbent members, or there will be punishment for you. And he also sort of tried to cultivate this culture of respect for the House, respect for the institution, bipartisanship, and all of that. Meantime, behind closed doors, he's calling Democrats, quote, liberal pieces of you-know-what, and he was also, making jokes about whether a guy might be gay, calling a woman vile, all this other stuff, and whether he violated the law, we'll find out. You've got the Brazoria County DA on the case, as well as the Texas Rangers, but it's the duplicity that really puts his speakership in trouble.
Scott Braddock with us, Quorum Report, at Scott Braddock, at Quorum Report, in the world of Twitter, quorumreport.com. So I'm trying to understand, on this list of 10, The 10 supposed Republicans whom Dennis Bonin was okay partnering with Michael Quinn Sullivan to take out, trying to garner from Michael some partnership to take out these 10 Republicans. What was it that got those 10 Republicans on that list?
Bonin in the meeting says that it was because, actually, he and Burroughs talked about the idea that they voted against taxpayer lobbying when cities and counties and school districts hire lobbyists to represent their interests at the Texas Capitol. I know this is a priority of the Republican Party of Texas and conservative grassroots activists. But it was curious, Mark, because there were more than 10 Republicans who voted against that bill when it was on the floor. And I think it's important to understand the history of that a little bit. I can do it very quickly for you.
Go ahead.
When that bill came to the floor of the House in the days leading up to it, the Speaker was very sought after by members because they wanted to know where he was on that bill. Was he for it or against it? And they had a caucus meeting, I think three or four days before the bill was on the floor. And members were trying to feel him out. You know, is this a speaker vote? Is this one of those things that's a priority of the speaker that he wants to pass? And I was told that he did not get, by Republican members, I was told he did not give them any indication. Then on the day of the vote, it was going to be on the floor of the House that afternoon. There was a chairman's lunch hosted by the speaker. And again, at that lunch, chairman tried to figure out, are you for this or against it? And he gave them no indication. So while he's running around saying this is a priority now, and Dustin Burroughs has talked about the sort of plot that they put together to try to have the hearing for this and SB 2 on the same day to sort of mess with the county judges and mayors so that they have to pick which hearing they'd like to be at, whether they wanted to be at the SB 2, that's the tax cap hearing, or at this taxpayer lobbying hearing, just kind of messing with them. That's what Burroughs claims. They were saying this was a priority, but members had no sense of that. They were sort of left to vote their districts, vote their interests. And now for it to be the litmus test seems very odd.
Well, thanks for the 101 on that. And so here are these how do you think those Republicans are feeling about Bonin right now?
I would think that those Republicans don't feel good, specifically the 10, but also the other Republicans who voted against that bill. They probably ought to look over their shoulder. Does that mean that they're coming for them next? Not sure.
Yeah. And so the vote that's really going to make some news is the next vote for Speaker of the Texas House, which is a million years from now. It's 15 months. It's when the next session gathers in January of 2021. We have short memories. We tend to be a fairly forgiving culture. There's a lot of room there for Bonin to sort of repair his reputation, maybe apologize. Michael himself did not call for his resignation or even his replacement as Speaker and spoke of the possibility of redemption. Others have not been as accommodating. So right now, from a light year out, what happens to Bonin?
Not clear. I think what may happen here is that the story may sort of fizzle and fade from here on out. I'm not sure. A lot depends on what kind of support the speaker has at the Republican caucus meeting this weekend, starting on Thursday. I think he may be looking for some sort of vote of confidence from the members. I would not predict that he was going to get that. But if the story fizzles and fades, he might just fizzle and fade with it, Mark. It may not be one of those things where it's sort of, bloody fist in the air and somebody, emerges as I'm the guy to take on Bonin and become the new speaker within the Republican Party. It may be that he simply just doesn't have the votes to get there when we get to 2021. And then, of course, there's also the possibility that Bonin, by creating more infighting and more problems within the Republican Party, may be putting the GOP in even more of a position to lose the majority in the Texas House, which would make all this an academic exercise, wouldn't it? If the Democrats take over, they take over, and so they elect the speaker. It would be a Democrat with the gavel, and we would just remember this time as a time when there was a lot of upheaval with really no point.
Because one of two things, it doesn't have to be one of the, but it could all sort of be status quo and all this kind of gets forgotten. But there are a couple of ways where the needle could really move. One is this is so dispiriting and weird and fractious for Republicans that we're off our game and Democrats win the House. The other is in a Trumpian year, it's like we're draining the swamp. We're finding the snakes and we're cleansing ourselves of them and hopefully welcoming through the primary process a better breed of Republican, which I hope is happening. I have no idea which of those will happen. No idea which of those will happen. But do you consider those both to be a possibility?
I think what's going to happen here, Mark, is we're down to about 8 districts now that are critical. You know, you had a Republican announce in a very swingy district, if you will, down in Houston, that he's not running for re-election. Dwayne Bohack, who won his election by a 47-vote margin in 2018. There's a lot of concern in the suburbs, as you know, in Collin County, Denton County, Williamson County, and the suburban parts of Tarrant County, where you may have an ascendant Democratic Party. I think one thing that may tell us a lot is, you know, what kind of attendance, and you and I tweeted about this, there will be at the Trump rally this week, which Republicans are going to sort of stand with the president and which ones are going to kind of run the other way. I think that, you know, their calculation on that will tell you a little bit about their strategy.
Is there Dennis Bonin's brother, Greg, is a neurosurgeon and a state rep from Friendswood. What's his status?
Bonin's brother, he should be fine where he is, you know, in his district. I don't see any issue, but I don't see any issue, but, you know, I mean, he's got the Bonin name. And by the way, I do think that Bonin could easily be reelected in his district and come back as a House member. But the real question is, do the other members of the House, as you pointed out with Michael, did they trust him to give him the gavel again? And as you say, if the vote was today, that would not happen.
Exactly right, but it's 15 months away. But down in Angleton, where Dennis's actual district is, vast majority of voters either A, aren't following this at all because it's kind of a political junkie deal, or B, they just appreciate him because he's done constituent services as well as anybody else. In our remaining minute or two, it's a weird season for our lieutenant governor. You shared with me a fundraising letter where Dan Patrick's message of the moment, and the last time we were talking about Dan Patrick, it was his sudden embrace of all kinds of gun control stuff that a lot of conservatives flat don't like, and he went into stone cold denial that they don't like it. And then we get this fundraising thing from the lieutenant governor saying, hey, Republicans, we got to absolutely stop fussing and fighting with each other. Stop shooting inside the tent. We got to unite. We got to unite and beat the Democrats, which is always a good message. But I know exactly what that message is. It's called get off my back.
Well, that's right, and we haven't heard much from him about gun control since then. I think the message was received loud and clear by a lot of Republican legislators. If they were going to go out on that ledge, to support gun control, which is something that they were not elected to do. That's not the promise that they made. They were looking at Dan Patrick taking all this incoming fire and thinking, "Wow, if he can't handle it, what am I supposed to do?"
Yeah. All right. Listen, stuff like this, big picture, little picture, Quorum Report. Follow at quorumreport.com, at Quorum Report, and Scott Braddock there, editor at Scott Braddock on Twitter. Always a pleasure, man. I know we'll be talking at some point soon, and I look forward to it whenever it is.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. QuorumReport.com, where we do not operate a PAC or illegally lobby the legislature.
I believe there's some differences between
us and Empower Texans. I was going to take some.
All right, I'm going to steal an extra 60 seconds because Empower Texans is absolutely a disseminator of information, but they're also a disseminator of money. I'm a big believer in a big picture. I'd give just about everybody credentials, whatever. But there is something about that. I guess what is that difference? That the money and the advocacy, you know, it makes. We're not lobbyists, and they're not, but they certainly are activists and involved in funding the things they believe in.
Do we really have about 60 seconds?
Sure, go.
Here's a huge thing that people should understand. Whether a person has a media credential or not does not make them a journalist or not. Someone can cover the legislature without one. The media credential only gives you floor access during their deliberations. And the bright line that lawmakers have drawn is that if you're going to be on the floor while they're deliberating the law, you should not be a giant political contributor. Years ago in Texas, it was the case that somebody could walk out on the floor while they're deliberating laws and pass out $10,000 checks. They passed a lot of good laws to keep that from happening. So, you know, multi-million dollar PACs should not have representatives on the floor while they're deliberating what laws we're all going to live under. And that's why the Speaker was in error to try to give them something that is against House rules, right? That has nothing to do with me or to do with Empower Texans. The members of the House voted on rules for who can be on the floor during their deliberations, and that's what that's all about. They operate a PAC, and they operate 501c4, 501c3, and a PAC that all have the same name, so that's sort of deliberately confusing. So they're conservative. They can certainly have a newsletter and all that sort of stuff, but even the Farm Bureau doesn't have people on the floor because they operate a PAC.
There you go. See, extra 60 seconds. Look what we got done there. Scott Braddock at Quorum Report. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you being here. It is 8:54. Talk to you soon. 6:60 a.m. The Answer. All right, it's 8:59. In our 9 o'clock hour, we can do any of your reactions to our 8 o'clock hour deep dive on the Bonin and Michael Quinn Sullivan thing. I got some audio from last night's Democrat debate where nothing changed and we learned really nothing. But here's the fascinating thing that happened in the 7 o'clock hour. The thing that we learned yesterday in the Tatiana Jefferson shooting is that she had a gun and may well have been pointing it in the direction of the window where she heard something mysterious. The something mysterious wound up being a cop. Did Officer Aaron Dean see a gun pointed at him? Is that why he shot her? Does that matter? To some, it does not. To some, it does. I'll tell you which group I'm in, and I'll ask you which group you're in. Grab a line right now, 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.